Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to the second half of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys. Thank you so much for being patient. We had a little technical difficulties there, but we're ready to start now. And I have our special guest, Ashley Henry. I think this is him on the line.
Joy, how's it going?
Good morning. Hi, so sorry about that. You know, computers. But I'm glad we connected.
Yeah, likewise.
You are across the pond.
Yeah, most definitely. I'm in currently in South London. Yeah, missing being in the States, though. Can't wait to play music out there again. I think I was last there. I was at the Winter Jazz Fest last year with Giles Peterson at Le Poisson Rouge in New York. And, yeah, I just love the energy always, you know, being in New York and or being in Philly. And, yeah, I just can't wait to get back out there and start making music again.
I mean, COVID has really put a dent in a lot of musicians', you know, livelihood. How have you been maintaining your livelihood, so to speak?
Oh, man. At the moment, I've just been working on new music, actually, which has been a really good way of, like, keeping me sane throughout this whole process and just adapting, really. I've been doing a podcast series myself, actually, and I've been doing a lot of production, different brand partnerships. That naturally had a little window where I've managed to do a couple of shows, like late last year. I've managed to have a show in Sweden, and I did two nights at Ronnie Scott's, which was like, it was actually kind of crazy playing like after 7 months of nothing. And prior to that, actually, I put together a post-COVID show. So at the time, we were allowed to have events on, but only outdoors. So mm-hmm. I was the first jazz musician to put together a show. So I got together some of the best jazz musicians on the scene, Shabaka Hutchins, Binka Golden, David Mrapel from Blue Lab Beats, and we just played straight, like didn't call any repertoire or play anyone's tunes. We just played, you know, just improvised on the spot, and it was such an amazing moment and a good reflection of how, especially during these times, people really using music as a way to help them get through the hard times they're going through. And on the flip side, musicians, we obviously miss performing and we miss the community aspects of it, but at the same time, it's like to be an artist during this time, it's like you have to fight for it and also fighting for survival, you know?
Yeah,
so
yeah, definitely.
Having that all reflected through sound was such a moment, and yeah, it was such an amazing gig and such an amazing experience for everybody. Like it was, we was all part of it. It wasn't just the musicians; the audience was also just as much a part of it as the music. And you know, and prior up to that point, we've all been doing live streams, and it all just felt so isolated and so disconnected. And I don't know, just doing jazz, like, online streaming and all that sort of stuff with no audience interaction, it was just...
It's not the same.
Yes,
it's not the same. I mean, I've done theater, and the audience energy when you're face-to-face is not the same as doing a commercial. You know, let me play one of your songs. I still believe it's from your album. So hold on, let me play that for the audience.
When none of my efforts receive recognition, dreams that I dream haven't come to fruition. The heartache and pain that life sometimes brings. One thing remains, I still believe that all is divine. I will believe in life's reason and rhyme. I will believe when I give selflessly.
That song, you have Milton Suggs. How did you connect with Milton? Did you know him beforehand or somebody recommended him? How did you connect with Milton?
It's funny, actually. I was crate digging in New York at the time. I think this was a couple years back, actually. And I found an amazing record, Kitty Bay, which featured his dad on bass. Then I showed it to my manager at the time. You know his son is an amazing vocalist as well. He's on the scene doing this and that, and sent me some videos of him singing, because I didn't really make that connection. And I was like, damn, Milton's amazing. And I was actually in the process of, like, writing my album and all that sort of stuff. And then I had this song in mind. And then after hearing, like, just his tone and the way he manages to convey his message through just singing, man. And I was just like, I have to try and make something happen and, you know, reach out to him and see if he's interested in doing something together. And, I was so pleased with, like, the result that came of it. And actually being able to perform it for the first time last year as well at Winter Jazz. And it was the first time we actually met in person. So
wow,
that was,
really?
That was
okay,
really cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Now, you have a relative. Your uncle, I believe, was a keyboard player. Tell us about him and how he might have influenced you.
Yeah, I mean, very musical family. A bit of backstory to that. Like, I grew up in, like, a little estate in South London, and my parents' house was, like, the place for, like, the crazy house parties and all that sort of stuff. And that kind of area, that commune, was, like, very much a big melting pot of, like, the Afro-Caribbean community at the time, like, in the early 90s. So, And, you know, my parents' place was, like, the place for, like, all the crazy house parties. And my godparents, who lived a few doors down, they owned the sound system and all that sort of stuff. So there was just always, like, music going on and in the house and all that sort of thing. Like, my dad always also plays the piano. There was always a piano in the house. And, yeah, my uncle would come over and play. He plays as well professionally. And I always used to get taken out to go and see and perform, actually. And I think my earliest memory of seeing my uncle play keys was, I think he was playing with this band, Eternal, at the time, this girl group, but he was also playing alongside this American R&B group called Mint Condition. And from then, from really early on, that really put me on to the music that was going on in the States, and really, paying attention to, like, the musicians in America that were, you know, playing in bands and all that sort of stuff, not just the commercial music that was happening.
Let me play another one of your songs. I'm going to play Colors. This is just a different song from your album. The album actually came out, was it 2019, correct? 2019?
Yeah, September 2019, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, oh, and this is called Colors.
Back when in 68, London was great. Teddy boys, bruising folk, murders in the broadest day. Racist nonsense. But look how we responded. We brought the carnival to Notting Hill. We brought the carnival to Notting Hill. What's stopped it since? What's stopped it since day? Nothing still. Quasi was a top notch poet. Know it. Fashano on the pitch, Lenny on the telly, and Diane Abbott out lasted all them carrots, and you know they jelly. You know this.
So that you worked with Joshua, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his name right. Idahen? How do you say his last name?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah,
So you have a variety of styles throughout your other EP and this album. Which one is your favorite? I know you started with actually classical. So what's your favorite form of music? Or do you have a favorite?
Oh, that's really hard to say, you know, because, like, the way that my album was put together is a reflection of my musical upbringing. And also reflects that I got into jazz quite late. I didn't start listening to jazz till I was about 18, 19. So literally up until then.
Wait a second. You said kind of late. You know, honey, I'm like 51. So now it's for me, if you to say late would be like I got into jazz like when I'm 40. You said 18. Do you know people? I just want to make sure everybody heard that. You know, 16. That was late, you know. But Cat, you know, he's a cool cat.
No, but like a jazz musician. No, for a jazz musician, you know.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, but he started with classical. And I didn't get into jazz till obviously 18, 19. But prior till then, I was like listening to obviously the birth of grime and UK garage at the time, and all the dark music that was kind of the sub-genres that came from the dancehall and, you know, roots reggae and all that sort of stuff. So the generation below that started to make their own music, and I was kind of in the midst of witnessing the birth of all of that during my upbringing. So I was listening to that, and then obviously the interconnectedness of the exportation of music between the US and the UK was, you know, always still prominent from way back when. So obviously hip hop and R&B was always on the airwaves and stuff and on TV. So it's just a big amalgamation of like all the good stuff. And then obviously I was like just copying like pop tunes by ear, like the Stevie Wonders and Marvin Gaye's and stuff, like playing records at home and just like just working stuff out by ear. But I wasn't able to like articulate what I was doing until I got into jazz, and then that's when everything kind of clicked. And, you know, so in terms of just like having so many different grooves and different styles throughout my album, it just really reflects like just the wide variety of music I was just listening to and just soaking in, like, throughout my years.
Yeah, you played with some great people, too.
I can't really say I have a favorite genre. It's just music is just music to me, and if it makes me feel, then, yeah, I'm down for that.
I feel you. You know, Jason Marcellus, you played with him. He's been on the show before. You have Keon Harold on this album. He's collaborated with Terrence Blanchard. Who would you like to play with in the future?
Ooh. I understand Christian McBride's your cousin. I'd love to play with him one day. He's like one of my favorite musicians, favorite jazz musicians. I love Marcus Gilmore, amazing drummer. Who else? I love to play with...
Are there any singers? Any singers you want to collaborate? Because you have several singers, you have some rappers. Any other singers or rappers you might want to collaborate with in the future?
Ooh, that's so difficult. There's so many.
Okay, give me three.
I would love to collaborate with that's really difficult for me, actually. That's really difficult.
Okay,
you know, when someone asks you something, your mind just goes blank. Yeah, let's come back to that.
Okay, let's talk about your dad dressing up as Santa, because I read about that. what was the situation with your dad dressing up like Santa?
I think, like, the nursery I was going to at the time, like, we had, we just had, like, this Christmas thing going on, and I just remember the nursery was, like, that's, like, one of my earliest memories as a kid, like, having this Christmas thing on my nursery, and then it was, like, oh, yeah, do you want to meet Santa? And then we, like, lined up, and then you go into this room, and you meet Santa Claus, and then I just remember, like, just sitting on my dad's lap. He thinks that, you know, he's obviously, like, turning on his character and stuff, and then I'm just staring at him because I knew it was him. And, yeah, I didn't know that they kind of could do that, but it's just, like, I was just so surprised at the time, you know.
That would have been really wild.
Look,
you got to be ready. You got to be ready when you come on my show. I try to dig up all kinds of stuff.
You just can't make something like that up. It's just bizarre.
Crazy. You know what? Let me play another song from the album. This is Dark Honey. Mm-hmm. Dark Honey from your latest album. Let me ask you, who you're collaborating with on that song?
On that track, McKay McCraven on drums, Jamie Branch on trumpet. That was an amazing session, man. That was when a couple of years back, a DJ from the UK put together this event called Chicago London. So she put together some of the best musicians from the UK, and then she managed to fly over some of the best musicians from Chicago, being most of them being from the label International Anthem. So McKay McCraven, Jamie Branch, Angela Oracle, all those guys, they came down and we played our own music and also played together. And then on the morning of the second day, we managed to put together a recording session. So we recorded a few tracks from my album, from the track you just heard, Dark Honey. And then we also recorded some of McKay McCraven's album, Universal Beings, because I think he recorded that album in four different cities. So we did LA, New York, Chicago, and then he did London. So I played on the London part of his album. And it was all recorded, that and Dark Honey was recorded on that same day in London.
So did you, how long did it take you to create this album? I heard you rent it like a studio for like a week, or was it longer?
Yeah, besides the Dark Honey track, I booked the studio out for a whole week and then literally just had different musicians, different artists coming in and out throughout that week. And it was intense, but it was I really enjoyed the process, and it was such a huge learning curve for me as well.
Did it take, what about your EPs? How long are your two other EPs?
My two other EPs, my first EP, I recorded that in one day. A good friend of mine, like, literally lent me, had a free day of the studio that he owned, and he really digged what I was doing and believed in what I was doing, and so I went to record that, and then literally I did a gig at Jazz Refresh, and Jazz Refresh, they're not just the record label, they've had this night at this venue in West London, which is unfortunately shut down now, but they had that night going for like over 15 years, and the musicians they brought through that door is just legendary. So I did a gig at Jazz Refresh one night, and then they pulled me to one side. They saw that I was new to the scene and all that sort of stuff. I was like, oh, okay, so what are you working on? I was like, actually, I'm going in the studio next week. And they was like, oh, do you want to release it with us? And literally that's how things kind of kick-started, and I never really looked back.
I saw that you played at this observatory, and you were like the first musician to do that. Tell the audience a little bit about that.
Yeah. So the Royal Observatory is like 300 years old, and so can say that gig was 300 years in the making. So one of the curators at the Royal Observatory, they had a really cool idea of me performing a live score to live visuals of space.
Mm.
So literally I did exactly that, and it was such an amazing experience being able to connect with people through images of the universe that we're all a part of, and at the same time all that we don't know that much about, which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
And serious at the same time. But yeah, it was in a weird way, it was like this really like bonding experience between me, myself, and the audience. It was a really amazing experience.
When I was a kid, we used to go to this place called the Franklin Institute that's here in Philadelphia, and they had like an observatory thing. I mean, now they have, you know, people trying to go to Mars. Would you ever go to Mars for a trip with Elon Musk, you know, the guy who does the electric cars?
I've seen some images of that. I'd love to go out of space one day. Who knows? Maybe that might be the solution one day when... you know, Yeah, let's see if there's water over there first, though.
Just small minor detail. We need some water, you know. But it's a big thing, you know. Our planet is going through so much change, and we do so much damage
yeah.
that, you know, we need to look into other ways to do things, but also maybe other places to live. Let me play some more of your music here. This is going to be Between the Lines. This is with Keon Harrell.
To die to the fire, be getting kind of bright. Shine up a higher light, my ambition is not for sale. Sticking to vision, the mission isn't a one to fail. I've been never one to fail, I figure we on the way up. Got on buggins enough, in my name saying enough. From when I speak, then I fumble over the words that I bust. I'ma keep it really real, 100, no wonder I must. Others try as they might, we let them go for it. Select the flow within, respect them over it. Beneath the words, just speak or seek an opening. For me to know what is the motive in what you promote.
So, Ashley, what's your favorite piano? Like, do you have a certain brand that you play or travel with? Or you say, look, when I get there, this type of thing has to, this kind of organ has to be there. What do you like?
For me, in terms of keyboards, a Nord Stage is always the best option for me. And how versatile it is, I've done big pop gigs playing big arenas, main stage festivals on Nords, and I've also done jazz shows with me or with Terrence or with Keon or, you know, whoever on Nords as well. And I just love how versatile that keyboard is. And for pianos, acoustic pianos, I've just got to go with Steinway, right, always. But at the same time, I did play a Fazioli one time, that just blew my mind. But there's only like a few of them around the world or something like that. So
why did that blow your mind? What was special about that one?
Like, Steinways are amazing, but just, it's like everything you could imagine for a piano to literally be perfect in the way, in just the action of it. The sound, the resonance, the finish, the attention to detail. And it kind of made me understand why there's only select few around the world, because it must take so long to put together, because just the attention to detail is insane. I remember playing it one time in Helsinki, and I was just like, wow. Like, I remember just like hype around Fazioli's, and I was like, oh yeah, whatever, it's just the piano. And then I actually sat down and played one chord, and I was like, oh, okay. And just an instrument that can make you play differently is, you know, yeah, is something not to be reckoned with, you know.
Yeah, it's a challenge for you. What would you tell pianists, jazz players, what would you tell young artists to be prepared for when they go out in the world, so to speak?
What, in terms of journey as an artist or just in general? I'd say, because some music and everything else will follow.
What about the business side, though? What should they be wary of and should they not do or do, you know?
I'd say always surround yourself, or, you know, don't be afraid to ask advice from musicians that are older and more experienced than you, especially people that you have access to, and don't be afraid to reach out to people, ask those questions, you know, get that information, get as much information as you can, because, you know, there's only so much that an institution will teach you, especially as being like a self-employed musician. And even little things like, well, it's not a little thing, but, you know, doing your taxes and all that sort of stuff, learning how to, you know, run a business as an artist, you know. So just things like that, being able to, from my experience, being able to talk to older musicians that were more experienced than me, or, you know, just those conversations were like just so important for, you know, my journey.
Let's listen to Pressure from Beautiful Vinyl Hunter. Are you now? What are you working on now, and when can we expect to see the next album?
Ooh, right now I'm working on a new record that should be out. Hopefully going to be dropping a single later on this year. And hopefully I'll be back out in the States very soon, when things get better in terms of COVID and that sort of stuff. I know the vaccine's rolling out, so fingers crossed. You know, we'll be able to see a Winter Jazz Fest 2022, you know?
Isn't that crazy? It's like almost 2 years of our lives were disrupted.
I know.
For this illness. And, you know, people have lost family and friends. And then at the same time, like you said, for artists, this is an important time, really, because they can help people heal. Music is a powerful instrument for healing. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
What's going to be on the new album? Can you tell us? Is it going to be jazz? Is it going to be rap? Is it vocals? What can we see on the new album?
I've actually started singing more, so you're going to be getting more vocals from me, and obviously a few different guests. Musicians that I've been collaborating with for a long time, so. Yeah, I'm really excited, and it all sounds like a natural progression from the last record. So, yeah, I can't wait. Can't wait to share it with
everybody. Where will we see Ashley Henry in 10 years from now? Where will he be?
10 years?
What will he be doing? 10 years from
10
now?
10 years from now. Hopefully still touring, making music, and... writing for different things and doing, still writing, still producing and making music, and that's what I want to see myself.
That's what you want to do. What's your favorite food? What's your favorite dish that you ate growing up?
My favorite dish, I think it would have to be ackee and saltfish, which is like a old school Jamaican dish.
And who makes
the
best? Is it somebody, your mom cooked that?
Yeah. And then I learned how to cook that when I was about to go to university. I had to learn to cook that. So literally that's like one of my favorite dishes. Every time I come home from like a tour or whatnot, that always makes me feel at home, you know?
Where is your favorite place to visit? Like, you've been so many places and toured. Where's your favorite place to visit?
Always love going to Jamaica to see my family. And every time I go back there, it always, I don't know, I just feel more connected. Because...
To the people?
Just to my lineage, because... where both my parents come from, and like just going back there and eating the food there and just being there and hearing the music there, everything just makes more sense, you know? Because literally my upbringing was literally just seeing Jamaicans in the UK, but actually going back, you know, and experiencing life there, it just makes more sense of, you know, where you've come from, and you won't know where you're going until you know where you've come from, you know? So, and I was lucky enough to been going back to visit there like quite regularly since I was a kid, because my parents really wanted to install that in me.
That's one of the things you talk about on your album, Africans, well, I'll say people of African descent, you know, the Caribbean, bringing that to London. And a lot of African-Americans aren't familiar with that history of, you know, people from the islands going over, you know, to the UK and establishing households and dealing with racism and all kinds of crazy stuff, just like we did here, you know. That's why it was funny when they talked about, like, you know, the British, you know, queen and all, there's no racism. What did you think
about
that article and stuff about them talking about that?
That family has so much blood on their hands. I just can't even, I don't know where to start.
Yeah.
Like, they did to slavery what Michael Jordan did to basketball. He just took it to new levels. Goes with saying how swept under the carpet that history is. You know, the whole British Empire, and nobody knows, you know, the fact why so many Jamaicans are here, because we were owned by the British Empire. Jamaica was part of the British Commonwealth, and so was Nigeria, and so was St. Lucia, and, you know, all these countries that were colonized, and, you know, we were, and it, the history behind, you know, Caribbeans migrating to the UK even before the Windrush, and going to the UK as well, you know, you got some of the best jazz musicians come from Jamaica. And some of the best hip-hop musicians come from Jamaica, Biggie Smalls, you know, all these people. You know, and there's British musicians that came from Jamaica that lived in Britain in the 1930s, like Ken Snake Hips Johnson, and they all got killed in the war. They had a residency at Café de Paris in London. So there's such a massive interconnectedness between the Caribbean, the UK, and the U.S. with jazz and hip-hop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
that
then
not that many people know about.
Yeah, they don't teach, you know, that in our schools about that type of history. It's like it's whitewashed, if you will.
Yes.
I'm sure there's things that, you know, maybe you guys aren't familiar with our history. But it's all interconnected, because slavery happened, you know, all over different parts of the globe. And like you said, they were like the Michael Jordan of, you know, slavery and the slave trade. What do you see now for Jamaicans, people from the Caribbean, now in the UK? Do you feel it's better? If not, what can be done to make it better?
I mean, I don't know if things are better or worse, but I think we just need to try our best to educate the next generation coming up, so they have more of a sense of belonging and a sense of community, and and more of a sense of self. Because if we just rely on our kids being taught by what they're being taught at school, you know, I think that's part of the problem. I think we need to do our bit to educate, you know, our younger generations in terms of where we've come from, and, you know, how things are interconnected and why we are here, you know?
Well, I appreciate you coming on. I apologize for the technical stuff earlier. I'm going to send out a new link for the show, but this is a fabulous album and just such variety. There's
Thank
something
you.
On there for everybody. And also, you know, you have a little social political stuff going on, and you have male voices, female voices. It's a lot. Even like The Mighty, I'm going to play that now when we finish the show. But so it's just so many songs, and that's why I wanted to have you on again. You know, there's wonderful artists of African descent all over, and I just like to highlight them and their work. So thank you.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Well, you have a great day. Stay safe with this COVID. I guess wash your hands, wear your mask, stay 6 feet apart. Yeah, so you can make that next album and come back on the show.
Yeah. No, I'd love to. No, thank you. Yeah. No, I'd love to come back soon, and yeah, hopefully you can meet one day.
Yeah, that would be great. Thank you so much again. You have a great weekend, okay?
All right, you too. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I just got off the phone with musician, pianist, organist Ashley Henry. Wow, composer, awesome talent. I think just in the beginning of his career, still very young and putting out some awesome work. So I'm going to give away some of his album. And so you want to follow me at Joy Keys on Twitter. Also check me out on Facebook, Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys, and on Instagram, Saturdays with Joy Keys. Also, you can check out Ashley Henry's website. It's ashleyhenrymusic.com. Check out there. He has videos, information about where he's going to be performing. And also, he's on YouTube. You know, check him out there, Ashley Henry. Just do a search. And I think you'll really like some of the videos that he did in relation to these songs. So I'm going to play The Mighty, which is actually the last song on the album, but it has it's a very interesting mix of sounds, and I think it's like representative of him. Like you said, he has a variety of sounds in his head, and he couldn't pick his favorite type of music, so he just put them all on here. It's like a big salad. You guys have a great weekend. I'll see you next weekend, and be safe.